Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus was baptized. Had John been running the show, it might never have happened. When Jesus came to John to be baptized in the Jordan, John tried to stop him. "I need to be baptized by you," he said, "and do you come to me?" It seemed upside down to John. The lesser should be baptized by the greater. The servant should be baptized by his master. The sinner should be baptized by the sinless one. John is correct, at least in that way of looking at things. But that's the law way of looking at things, not the gospel way. In the gospel way of looking at things, the sinless one is baptized by the sinner. The Lord of all becomes the servant of all. The greater is baptized by the lesser. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, is washed and prepared for his sacrifice, washed on the way to his altar. Now, we need to be clear here, very clear. Jesus' baptism at the hands of John is not an example for us to follow. We're not baptized simply because Jesus was baptized. First of all, this is John's baptism, which Jesus receives, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in preparation for the coming of the Christ. The Christ is baptized in a baptism that prepares for his coming. Go figure. Our baptism is not John's. Our baptism is Jesus. It comes at his command and with his promise. Our baptism is holy baptism because it is the Lord who baptizes. Jesus' baptism makes our baptism possible. That's true. But they are not one and the same thing. The heavens did not open visibly at your baptism. The Father's voice was not audible at your baptism. The Spirit did not descend bodily in the form of a dove at your baptism. Those are all unique to Jesus' baptism. And so we are not baptized in imitation of Jesus, but by his command and his promise. There is a difference. Jesus' baptism did not save him. Holy baptism saves us. Jesus' baptism did not wash away his sins. He had no sin. Holy baptism washes away our sin. Jesus' baptism did not grant him a second birth from above. He is the eternally begotten Son of the Father. Our baptism is our heavenly birth, our birth from above of water and spirit. Jesus' baptism joined him to our death. It set him on an inexorable road to Calvary and his cross. Holy baptism joins us to Jesus' death. As the Apostle Paul writes so clearly in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." You ought to have that scripture, Romans 6, handy at all times, especially should someone suggest to you that baptism doesn't really do anything, or that it is something that we do. We were buried with Christ by baptism into his death. It doesn't get any clearer than that, and you don't even need to know Greek to figure this one out. It's as clear as day. Through baptism, by means of baptism, through the instrumentality of baptism, God buries us into the death of Jesus, declaring us in that very act to be dead to sin, but alive to him in his Son. Not even Jesus' baptism, which is not the same as ours, was something Jesus did. Jesus didn't go and get himself baptized. Jesus was baptized. He received it from the hand of John. John had to consent. He had to be convinced. This was something done to Jesus. Jesus couldn't stick his hand in the water and baptize himself. It had to be done to him by John. And that's what scandalized John so much. John didn't feel qualified to baptize the one whose sandals he wasn't qualified to loosen. The Father and the Spirit bore witness and they testified to Jesus' baptism. It takes two witnesses to establish truth. The Spirit descended upon Jesus in a bodily form, appearing as a dove, indicating that Jesus was the one anointed with the Spirit without measure. That's what it means to be the Christ, the anointed one. It shows that Jesus is God's anointed one. And the Father bore witness to his Son, using the very words of Isaiah 42, which you heard. This is my beloved Son, my servant, the one with whom I am well pleased. And with that, the heavens were opened up. And don't say that baptism doesn't do anything. That is nothing more than some symbolic washing. Symbols don't open heaven. Symbols don't bring down the Spirit. Symbols do not cause the Father to voice his approval. Symbols don't wash away sin or bring a heavenly birth or join you to the death and life of Jesus. Jesus' baptism is many things, but an example for us to follow or some symbolic ritual act is not among them. This is Jesus' ordination. It's the beginning of his public ministry, which begins with the Father identifying him as the servant Son, the one who is his elect, the one who pleases him. And the Spirit descends upon him to show that he is the Christ of God. His mission and his ministry is to bring the kingdom of God, to usher in that age of the Messiah, to defeat sin, death, the law, devil, to bring eternal life and forgiveness of sins, to rescue fallen humanity from its captivity to sin and death, to be the second Adam, the new head of humanity, to fulfill the law with his perfect obedience, to die under the law, bearing the punishments of our sin in our place as the suffering servant who bears the transgressions of the people, to become sin for us so that in him, baptized into him, we might become the righteousness of God, to usher in a new creation, to make all things new by his death and his resurrection. That's the work that begins in the water of the Jordan with his baptism. Or to put it simply in one little sentence, as Jesus said to John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus' baptism was a necessary part of his being the Savior from sin. As God's Lamb, the sacrifice, he needed to be washed as all sacrifices were washed. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was being prepared to make his offering in our place. He is the stand-in, the substitute, the one who offers his life in place of our lives, blood for blood, his blood for your blood. But this washing was a different sort of washing. This sacrifice was already pure and spotless and without blemish. But he was washed in our sins so that we might be washed from our sins. The baptism that Jesus stepped into was a baptism for sinners. That's why the religious types didn't think they needed John's baptism. They didn't see themselves as sinners. There were prostitutes and tax collectors and scoundrels and all sorts of riffraff coming to John, wanting to be cleansed from their sins, wanting to be cleansed from their past. Jesus had no sin. He was sinless. He was holy. He had no past which needed cleansing. In being baptized, Jesus joined himself in solidarity with all those sinners in the Jordan. He jumped into their bathwater with all of sinful humanity, with you, with you. You ever wonder where your sins go when we say baptism washes away sins? They all stick to Jesus. He was baptized into our sin. In baptism, Jesus became the adulterer, the murderer, the drunkard, the liar, the thief, the gossip, the greedy one, the idolater. He was joined to you in your death and in your sin so that in baptism you might be joined to him in his death and his life and his sinlessness and his purity. He became the sin of the world in order to take away the sin of the world by nailing the sin of the world to his cross and taking it to his grave. And in his baptism, Jesus was immersed in our sin so that we might be drowned in his righteousness. Jesus' baptism is the inauguration, the coming out, the start of his mission. Before then, there wasn't much to report. In fact, in Mark's gospel, he doesn't even bother reporting anything. It all begins right here in John's baptism of Jesus. Matthew and Luke fill in some details. We heard all of that during the Christmas season. The virgin birth, the night in the manger, the shepherds, the magi, the angels, the star, the flight to Egypt, the return to Nazareth, his circumcision on the eighth day, his presentation on the 40th day, his bar mitzvah, so to speak, when he's 12 years old at the temple. But all of these lead up to this moment in the Jordan River when John baptizes Jesus and the heavens open to him. And while Jesus was just as much the world's savior when he's sleeping in Mary's lap, or when he's that kid in the temple confounding the teachers, you would not have known him from any other kid on any block in Nazareth, except that he was kind of the good kid. But not in any way that sticks out. But here you do. Here you see the difference. In the water of baptism, you see the difference. Here the heavens open to this one. Here the voice of the Father speaks his approval. Here the Spirit descends like a dove. And you know there is something about this Jesus unlike any other. No other human who ever lived heard the Father say to him, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God was well pleased with Adam for a bit, not for long. God was not well pleased with Adam's sin and the death that Adam brought into the world because of it. God is not pleased with you, nor is he pleased with your sin. You sometimes hear the saying, "God hates sin but loves the sinner." That sounds good and gospel-y, but it's not true. God hates sin. He hates what sin has done to his foremost creature and to his creation. He hates the death that sin has brought into the world. And he doesn't love the sinner. Not in himself. He hates the sinner too. He damns the sinner. His law and his justice require that. There is no way around that. He loves the sinner in his Son. That's how he loves the sinner. He loves you in his beloved Son. He says to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son." And in saying that to Jesus, he says that to you in your baptism. To be in Christ is to be God's beloved child, to have the heavens opened to you, to have the Father voice his approval of you, to have the Spirit descend upon you. In Christ, God is well pleased with you. That's what it means to be baptized, to be in Christ. We are baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ. Before God, standing before him, we are Adam wearing a Christ suit. It's kind of like Jacob wearing the disguise of his brother Esau. We are Adam wearing a Christ suit. Now, before each other, before men, it's the other way around. We're Christ wearing an Adam suit. All we can see when we look at each other, Adam. No secret there. When God looks at us, though, it's inside out. He sees Christ, his beloved Son. See, God in our baptism says to us, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." In Christ, all righteousness is fulfilled, and in Christ we have that righteousness because he has fulfilled it for us. His obedience is yours. His perfect life is yours. His death is yours. Everything in Christ is yours. Jesus didn't become the Son of God in his baptism. He always was that from all eternity. But you in your baptism did become a child of God, a new creation, reborn from above by water and spirit. You were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ. You were joined to him in his death and resurrection. You were crucified with Christ and you were raised with him. You died. And you were set free from slavery to sin and bondage to death. In baptism, God filled out the death certificate of the old Adam, and he filled out the birth certificate of the new man in Christ. Your death and your resurrection are already a done deal because God has spoken. He has declared it to be so. They are as done a deal as Jesus' own death and resurrection, into which you have been baptized. And yet, for a moment, the deal is not quite done, is it? The sinner is alive and quite well. The saint in Christ is hidden, very hidden. This life as baptized believers in Christ is a life of paradox, of tension, of being sinner and saint simultaneously at one and the same time, of now and not yet, of doing what we do not want to do, of not doing the very things we want to do, of having evil lie closely and inseparably with good, of saying with the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" Of confessing with the same Apostle, "Christ died for sinners of whom I am chief." Living simultaneously as a sinner and a saint. The old Adam, the old man in Adam, remains and must be drowned each and every day in the death of Jesus. The new man in Christ abides too and must rise up each and every day to new life. Every day of this life we must wake up under the sign of the cross and in the triune name of God, and remind ourselves of what God has done and what he has said to us in our baptism. "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. I no longer see you as a child of your father Adam. I see you as my child in my Son. I no longer see your sin. Instead, I see his righteousness. I have declared you already dead to sin and alive to me in my Son Jesus. And now every day of life that I give you until the day you die and the day you rise, you must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Every day you have to remind yourself of this. Every day you have to say to yourself, I am baptized, so that you never ever forget who you are in God's eyes. Every day, today, say it aloud with me. I am dead to sin.
I am dead to sin.
I am alive to God in Christ Jesus.
I am alive to God in Christ Jesus.
I am baptized into Christ. Into Christ. Never forget the Christ. You are baptized into Christ. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.